This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Good day, I'm Stan Jastrzebski. In studio with me this week for our second go-round with our mayors is West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Stan.
How are things?
Pretty good. How about you?
Not too bad, not too bad. If you've got a question for Mayor Dennis, please do give us a call during our next half hour, 496-1999. 496-1999 is the telephone number. You can also send emails to ask@WBAA.org, and you may tweet your questions to @WBAANews on Twitter. Well, interesting developments since you and I spoke last month, and we talked about this then, too. It seems to me there is growing pessimism from those of you who are mayors along the Hoosier State rail line about its future. I spoke to Todd Barton from Crawfordsville 2 weeks ago, and he said very flatly to me, look, it's dead in October. I can't see how it's not at this point. Mm-hmm. Do you share that view?
Well, it's definitely challenged, that's for sure. You know, when we entered into this agreement, it was for 1 year, and the understanding was that those of us on the route, the municipalities on the route were going to contribute a certain amount of money with the understanding that Amtrak was going to meet certain metrics and that the hope it would become sustainable. One of the major components of that was the revenue being a continuous flow throughout the course of that year. Well, Indianapolis, for the most part, at least as far as we understand, has decided to pull out. And that leaves a significant financial gap in the cost for all of us to go ahead and try and recover. When in the city of West Lafayette, when I proposed this to my legislative body, they were somewhat skeptical, but they realized that, okay, this is a 1 year event. We'll see what we can do and hopefully things will work out. But we are not in a position to reapproach our legislative body to try and get more revenue out of them. So I know from the cities of West Lafayette's perspective, it's definitely challenged.
So are you saying that regardless of what the other cities do, you don't have any more money for this?
Well, it would have to go back to my legislative body. They would have to make that decision. And, you know, in the city of West Lafayette, as in most cities around the state of Indiana, money's pretty tight. And we, our tax dollars are pretty busy working within our community. So we would have to really, really dig deep to try and find out where we might get that additional revenue to cover the cost of Indianapolis pulling out.
At the same time, this is an economy that is growing in a lot of places. This is an economy that statewide is getting better after the recession. Mm-hmm. Mayor Barton in Crawfordsville said they've got a 100 to 150% reserve hanging mm-hmm. around in their accounts there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's money out there, mm-hmm. and there's money in the form of a $2 billion state surplus mm-hmm. as well. Is it still worth it to try to go to the state and ask them to dip into that for what would only be a couple million bucks out of $2 billion that are sitting around? I mean, we're nearing the point where we have a surplus where there's going to be an automatic kickback to the citizens of Indiana
sure.
by law. Mm-hmm. So rather than get to that point, isn't it worthwhile to try something like this, especially since you've got a private capital firm in Chicago that says, hey, we want to run this thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question. But I guess to look at this from a historical perspective, one would ask the question, why has it gotten to this point? You know, obviously, when you look around the country, you look at the states that are co-joined to Indiana, they're very enthusiastically embracing passenger rail. Indiana, for some reason, has made the decision not to. We have focused a lot of our statewide revenue on roads, streets, bridges, and those things. So we've fallen below the curve financially when it comes to looking at that comprehensive investment. So it's difficult to make the assumption that that would be an automatic payoff, that we would, as a state, go ahead and welcome this opportunity to spend money on something that we've sort of neglected over several years. But I'm speaking more specifically from the local level. You know, oftentimes we look at our revenue and presume if there is a surplus that we have other options to spend it with. But, you know, look at the past winter. We had a very severe winter, and we had to dip very deeply into our cash reserves to go ahead and cover some of the overtime and equipment costs just for this particular winter. So it's just good fiscal management to make sure that if you do have reserves, you keep them at a fairly high level for the unexpected.
This is an area, Lafayette, West Lafayette, that probably has the second most ridership of any mm-hmm. municipality on the line in Indiana behind Indianapolis. And there are a lot of students at the university who use it to get up to Chicago to fly home mm-hmm. for breaks and things like that. Do you have conversations with the various constituencies who use the line, and what are they telling you?
Well, I do, because I'm pretty approachable and I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. And, you know, we have a very strong and very high population of international students here at Purdue and in the city of West Lafayette. And in some cases, the Amtrak passenger rail system to Chicago is their lifeline. You know, that's how they connect to the airports to get home. And that was one of the arguments that we presented to our council when we're looking at trying to fund this. And we had a pretty significant showing at our council meeting, and that message was communicated very clearly. So it is very disappointing that that spur might go away. But there is the, I believe it's the Cardinal that will run as well. Now, it's not going to have the frequency of trips as the Hoosier State, but from what we understand from Amtrak, that is the alternative route in the interim until something either comes to the rescue of the Hoosier State. I think I referred to a rescuing individual being like a rich uncle, or if there's something that we're able to do amongst the governmental entities on the route to try and save the rider, or at least save the route.
You mentioned the international students at Purdue who use it. I wonder if you've gone to Mitch Daniels or anybody else at the university and said, look, this is important to the people who you serve. Mitch Daniels has said on these very airwaves, Purdue's financial situation is strong. They've got money that they are hanging on to, and that they've got, and they've been able to find significant savings over the last couple of years. Have you approached him at all?
No, I've not. We were approached specifically as governmental entities. You know, this came from NDOT, and it was directed to the governmental entities with on the train route. And so we're the ones that are basically in the game right now.
Well, right, but you're charged with finding the money.
Well,
does it matter where the money comes from?
Well, from the perspective of my taxpayers, it does. You know, and looking at the negative perspective, you know, it's tax dollars that we're looking at right now, and we want to make sure that we spend them wisely. And one of the things we're not in a position to do arbitrarily is just to go ahead and up the ante that we've already agreed to, because that came from our council.
Right. But wouldn't your taxpayers rather have it that Purdue kicks in rather than their tax dollars kick in? Because it's almost like a free ride at that point to them.
No, and that again is the perception. But as it stands right now, the agreement that's been basically signed and that is being held right now is amongst the municipalities. I don't know if Purdue's been approached. I don't know if anybody from NDOT has approached anybody at Purdue. I only know specifically what we've been doing here in local government.
You also mentioned to me a month ago that there had been conversations among all of the stakeholders that you guys had gotten together and tried to get on the same page. Have there been any more of those conversations in the last month or so since Indianapolis has made it clear that their $25,000 a month commitment is going to go away?
We've had some conversations between the city of Lafayette and Tippecanoe County just trying to figure out what the options might be. But in the collective, no, we haven't had any collective meetings since that time.
That would seem to say that there's a bleak future for this if you guys have stopped talking.
Well, no, not necessarily, because oftentimes when things like that happen, people are trying to check their reserves and see what the options may or may not be. But I know for us locally, you know, we're concerned. We really are. You know, and I'm sure you've had the opportunity to talk to Mayor Wasworski. It's very difficult for us as mayors to go beyond the scope of our mayoral authority. You know, when we look at trying to generate revenue for certain projects and things, we do have to go to our councils to get that revenue. And I know specifically my council, they were somewhat skeptical. They said, okay, you know, we'll give it a shot, but we want it to be for a year and we hope that it meets certain metrics. And I don't know, you know, again, I'm not going to speak for my council, but I know it would be a hard sell to try and get them to agree to another term, specifically if it would increase our financial obligation.
So having the private operator there in place as the preferred bidder from the state doesn't really give you another bargaining chip?
Not so much, because that private operator is actually going to be a greater expense.
How so?
It's more expensive. They're willing to provide an enhanced service, but it's going to be at a greater cost. So in the event that we were going to be part of the same package deal as we were with the existing Hoosier State with Amtrak, it would cost us more.
What has been the conversation with Corridor Capital about what they would contribute financially, if anything, and what kind of service you would get back from their investment in the project?
Well, they had a price for providing that service. And with that service came a lot of the original metrics that we had asked for from Amtrak, such as, you know, an enhanced ride, you know, more services within the cab, within the cars, things of that nature, more frequent trips to and from Indianapolis to Chicago. And then obviously making sure that it would be more timely, making sure that it would be more predictable. The time schedules would be more closely adhered to. Basically, they were offering something that was a better product than Amtrak, but it was going to come at a higher cost.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA. We're chatting this week with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. If you have a question, please call us at 496-1999. Send us an email. That email address is ask@WBAA.org or tweet your question to @WBAA News on Twitter. Not to belabor this point, but I've been working on this story with Brandon Smith, our State House reporter, and last week I had him ask Mayor Pence or Governor Pence about the future of this, because Mayor Barton had said that the governor himself really needs to get behind this. And there's really no other way to put it other than the governor passed the buck and said, look, all of the cities need to be giving money to this. And it's obvious that the city of Dyer hasn't done that. And you've got the city of Beech Grove with the Amtrak repair facility. They haven't kicked in any money, even though they're not on the route. Is this just something that is unpopular? I mean, is it fair to just call it that, especially in legislative circles?
You know, sometimes you get that impression, you know, but I think that it's almost one of the chicken or the egg things. What are they looking at first? Are they looking at revenue or are they looking at service? And, you know, the state now is boasting about a couple billion dollar surplus in its revenues, which to those of us that are not working there and not dealing with their daily expenditures and whatnot, it seems like a lot of money. But if you drive around the state of Indiana, you see a lot of that money working for our Hoosiers. They're building roads. They're building bridges. They're rehabbing some of the roads. They're doing projects like 231. So there is a lot of activity going on. And then it gets down to the individual population. How popular is passenger rail? You know, when you look at ridership 50 years ago, I mean, that was a major modem of transportation. I don't know if that's the case anymore. Maybe it's you know, coming back, as most things do. It's trending again. But as it stands right now, I'm not in a position to make an assessment as to, throughout the entire state, how popular passenger rail is. And again, one can only make a presumption from the existing fact pattern. Indiana has made a conscious decision to not invest in passenger rail. And it was that based upon the fact that it's no longer profitable, based on the fact that it's no longer popular, or based on the fact that the revenue needed to go to work to help rehab our roads and streets? It's out of my pay grade. And I don't know if the governor either got promoted or demoted when you called him mayor.
I'm sure there are days he'd like to have one office or the other.
True.
On to other things. I see your office is moving again, at least temporarily.
Yes. We've been housed in a meeting room in the police department now for several months since our first initial move from the Navajo address. And it's been somewhat cumbersome. The police facility is a secured facility. You have to go through 3 locked doors just to get to my office. And I'm a pretty public guy. And one of the things that I pride myself on is being publicly accessible. And when somebody has to sit in a communal waiting area until it's almost like, remember, get smart. I mean, that might have been before your time. But there were several different doors that he had to walk through before he finally got to the phone booth to drop down to where he needed to go. And in some cases, I feel very similar to that. There's so many locked doors and so many security checks just to get to me. It's not very functional for a public servant. So there's a spare classroom down at the Morton Community Center. We're going to go ahead. My assistant and I are going to go ahead and move our office down there.
There has been some talk about whether that building, which of course is already used for city meetings and other things that are city purposes, could become the de facto city hall if it is decided that the Navajo address is just unredeemable because of all the mold. I noticed that you said in the paper that really hasn't been discussed too much, but isn't it a feasible thing to think about?
Well, I mean, everything's on the table. You know, one of the biggest concepts that I'm still working on is, what is City Hall nowadays? You know, what is in Y2K plus 14, what is a City Hall to the citizens that you serve? You know, a lot of what we do now, we can do online. We can do through technology. You know, they even have it now where, I mean, on some of the popular, you know, game shows and you know, dance shows and music shows where you can actually have real-time interaction with the folks on TV. And I think that we could conceivably go that route with City Hall as well. I'm not saying that we're going to, but I think that we do need to have a public conversation of what the expectation is of City Hall. And that will help us better define where we need to go. You know, if it needs to be exclusively an office building, well, that's one concept. But also if it needs to be a meeting place that has several different interactive opportunities, that's another conversation that we need to have. But in the interim, We have not made any permanent decisions about anything except for where we're not going to be. And right now, we're not going to be in the old city hall. And most recently, we're not going to be in the police department.
You make it sound like you're going to run for re-election against Max Headroom.
Yes. Although his technical skill is much greater than mine.
I know we're making light of this, but of course, it has been months and months. You've been out of city mm-hmm. hall now. I just talked with Judy Rhodes last week about the budget a little bit, and mm-hmm. we're talking an additional capital request outside of the budget that would have to be made to remediate City Hall. Mm-hmm. I think it would be fair for people to say, look, we've sat on this for 8 months now, something like that, and are we really committed to fixing City Hall? Mm-hmm. What's the answer?
Well, you know, without looking at the—and I'm not trying to dodge the question. I just don't want to say something today and then have to contradict myself tomorrow, but— You know, I can see what I can see, and I've been in that building, and that building looks like it's far beyond the point of being able to be rehabbed. In order to do any of the remediation would require the building at its best to be a building that's going to function for our community, and it really doesn't serve that purpose. It's not ADA friendly. We don't have enough parking for the number of people that are actually working in there. It doesn't have the appropriate opportunities for technology. We don't have the outlet space. We don't have the wiring. We don't have some of the basic needs now that we as an evolving community actually expect from our local government. So to go back in there is...
So if you had your way, you wouldn't go back to City Hall?
No, I would not. And and part of this report that's going to be coming out here very soon is going to give us some costs for that effect. You know, if... To go back into that building, my presumption is going to be cost prohibitive. And so that's when we need to start having this dialogue about where are we going to go.
It sounds like you mean to say that you need a financial reason to go back to the legislators and say, look, there is no way that we can afford this or we should try to afford this. Mm-hmm. And that will push them to say, okay, what's our next option for City Hall?
Man, I wish I had that power to push my legislative branch that way, but that doesn't exist. They'll be presented the facts if it's something that's going to be within their wheelhouse. This could be a very just basically an operational issue. You know, this could be something like some of the other things that we've done with our major developments. You know, usually when we have a development that's going to be significant and could have an impact on a neighborhood or a sector of the community, we go ahead and host public meetings. And City Hall will have that same track. We'll go ahead and have conversations about it and try and get a better idea of what it is that the community actually wants. You know, once a month I go to our market. I'm at the farmer's market, and that's probably when I get the most interaction about these sort of very local issues. And it's basically 50-50. You know, a lot of folks say, wow, it'd be great if you were down in Morton. It would be a real cool city hall, and we could rehab Morton that way. And others say, hey, wait a second, the population base is for the most part north of 52. City Hall needs to be where the population base is.
That was going to be my next question is, and you know, we were talking about it in the office this morning, and someone said, wow, it'd be really cool to have City Hall in the Village. And mm-hmm. I turned around to them and I said, there are no voters in the Village. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's got to be a consideration,
that
right?
That absolutely is, yeah. That's what people are saying, you know. And to be even more blunt, they say things such as, the voters are in the north. Government should represent the voters. City Hall should be in the north. So it will be a very interesting conversation, that's for sure.
Have you done any of the comparisons yet, and are you to this point before you have the money set aside for remediation on City Hall? Have you done the comparison of it's going to cost X dollars to remediate City Hall, or it's going to cost Y dollars to turn Morton into City Hall? Is that one-to-one comparison ever going to be done way?
Yeah. I mean, we have Morton as a structure, as a facility, needs to be redone. It was a building that was designed to be a school. I think originally it was designed to be a high school, and the building was completed in the 20s. And so it's a very old building, and in some areas it's showing its age. I think 10, 15 years ago, they did some sort of remedial work on it just to make sure that, you know, the heating and the air conditioning would work and that the plumbing wasn't blowing up. But it really hasn't had the complete rehab that it needs to continue on to be one of the crown jewels of our community. So that has been a conversation for quite some time. City Hall, we're still waiting to get our numbers back from our consultant that did the work. He has been reporting to us things that he's been finding throughout the course of the past month and a half or so that he's been doing this. And one of the biggest surprises to us was that the foundation was flawed, that there's problems with the foundation, which makes it very difficult to remediate. because once the base is bad, then it's just going to get worse all the way up. And to remove, then to fix that would be really expensive.
How much space do you need? I mean, what kind of size of a building is the minimum you could accept for whatever the new City Hall is?
That is a fantastic question, and that's something that we need to look at. You know, a lot of the folks that we that have been housed in traditional City Hall might not need to be anymore. Look at the police department, for example. It used to be when police officers would handle a call, they'd have to come back into headquarters, they'd have to type reports, they would have to have the equipment there to do all that, and then they would go back out in their car and continue with their daily routine. It's not like that anymore. Policemen basically have an office now in their vehicles. We need to look at what technology can assist us with in becoming more efficient and maybe less dependent upon an office space and more focused on trying to serve our community.
It sounds like what you might look for is not going to be found in Morton long term because, as you point out, it's nearly a 100-year-old building, mm-hmm. and you've got infrastructure problems there, mm-hmm. that would better be solved perhaps by a small new building. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, will you consider finding out what it would cost to build from scratch, mm-hmm. to whatever specs you need now, or whatever specs you'll need perhaps more to the point 20 years from now, mm-hmm. with technology permitting? And you look at that number versus what it would cost you to rehab two of the older buildings.
Oh, absolutely. And that's going to be all part of the conversation. I mean, it wouldn't be just an open-ended question, what do y'all want? It would be more of a conversation, here are our options. You know, do we go down to Morton, rehab Morton, and retrofit it to be a city hall and a community center? Do we try and figure out what we can do with the existing structure to the point of scraping it and building a new one there? Or do we look at someplace else? And then all that has to be, you know, basically surrounded by a conversation of what is the community's expectation of City Hall and Y2K plus 14.
We have just a few more minutes left on today's Ask the Mayor program with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. Give us a call at 496-1999, and we'll try to shoehorn you in here real quick. Send us an email at ask@wbaa.org or tweet your question to @WBAA News on Twitter. I actually wanted to get to a Twitter question we didn't have time for last month. Mm-hmm. We had a tweet wondering what the status is of the development on the corner of Northwestern and State there in Chauncey Village. And my wife, the Lafayette native and the Purdue grad, drove by it with me the other day, and she said, yeah, that corner is just cursed. Is she right?
Well, it is almost like an evil monkey has pointed its finger at it, that's for sure. The fact of the matter is that it's a private development. You know, there are people that actually own those buildings, and in order for them to do the development, there has to be certain standards that they have to abide by. There's partnerships involved, just a lot of private sector stuff that's keeping that from being what it has the potential to be. It actually has been approved. You know, we went through the process of getting it approved as a private development. And our presumption as local government was that they were going to go ahead and get on it. But things have changed and they have not. So it's almost like hurry up, stop.
What has it been approved to be?
Well, it was going to be retail residential. They were going to have a drugstore there, I believe. They were going to, I think in the basement, they were actually going to have a restaurant and then have residential on the top.
So building up from the current structure as it
Correct.
Sits now?
It would be, and this I'm going to have to, I'm not certain, but it was going to be, I think, either one story higher or the same height, but they were going to have multiple layers, obviously, of residential, like a Rexall drug, and then a restaurant in the bottom, in the basement.
And I wonder if you get to a point where you've got property like that that has sat fallow for so long, mm-hmm. and people come to realize it, especially if, because you're not looking at out-of-town investors, you're looking at primarily, I would say, in-town investors for something like that, who see there have been multiple businesses that have come and gone, mm-hmm. Succeeded for a short while and eventually failed. And if it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy of, I'm not sure my business, no matter how successful I think it's going to be, is going to succeed in this location. I mean, do you run into that?
Not really. That's one of the amazing things about being a university town. A lot of developers enthusiastically embrace the opportunity to bring a retail opportunity here, but they have certain standards. For instance, one of the biggest conversations that we have, and I usually joust about this with one of the reporters at the Courier, is Trader Joe's. And everybody wants a Trader Joe's. Everybody loves Trader Joe's. But what they look at when they look at the city of West Lafayette is they look at our indigenous population. They don't include the student population. Well, that demographic changes from folks that are familiar with West Lafayette and Purdue University. They realize they got about 40,000 folks here that have certain commercial needs, certain retail needs, and they are very aggressively pursuing opportunities to develop here. And the closer to campus they can get, the more excited they are. So it is, and the dark side of that is that the owners that own the property are very much aware of that. And sometimes their appetite for a cash flow is not quite worthy of the actual property they're trying to market.
Are you saying you've had conversations about that corner becoming a Trader Joe's?
I wish. Trader Joe's and Apple stores would be very popular. We think that we have a market for it, and we're actually approaching folks with that understanding that we would be very welcoming to have those folks in our community. And, you know, they're interested, but interest is one thing, activity is another.
So the long and short of this is there's still no plan for that.
Yeah, well, there's a plan, but it's just a matter of getting the plan.
Not one that's going anywhere.
Exactly. There you go.
I wanted to wrap up something we talked very briefly about last month and something I had fun putting together a story on this week. But there was one unanswered question left about the Pianos for the Street project, which was when you had the Board of Works meeting, there was a comment made that, hey, if this is successful enough, we may extend it, we may do it again. But left unanswered was, what are the metrics for deciding that? I wondered, is the city in the process of taking stock of how the project went and trying to see if it's going to go forward in the future?
Well, one of the cool things about public art is that the metric is pretty subjective. There's a few different things that we look at. First off, how is it received by the public? Do you get a lot of positive feedback? Do people hit your website? Do they send you emails and texts about what they think about it? That happens with the pianos. Second off is how it's cared for by the public. You know, oftentimes public art, you know, statistically speaking, public art is generally left alone. Vandals don't trash it. You know, they don't steal it, things of that nature. And the pianos have been very successful in that endeavor as well. And then finally, it's the community spirit. You know, we firmly believe that public art is the way to go in West Lafayette and around Purdue University. Anytime we do developments now, we always have that conversation with the developer. What are you going to do about public art? And they now are very interested in contributing to the overall appearance of our community. So because of that, we feel that the pianos have been a success. And also they've been a lot of fun. You know, I kind of cranked out a few rounds of chopstick myself. So
real quick, and just our last few seconds here, reasonable to think this will go on, A, in future years, and B, longer than just a couple of weeks in future years?
I hope so. Again, it's not my truck to drive, but it seems like it's very well received, and it seems like a very popular thing for our community.
All right. Mayor Dennis, thanks so much. We look forward to doing it again next month.
I'm having a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Please do join us at the same time next week for our conversation with Lafayette Mayor Tony Roswarski. If you've got a question in the interim, tweet it to @WBAAnews or send an email to ask@WBAA.org. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Have a good day, everybody.